Welcome back to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein, and we're joined now by Victor Crudel, Director of Silicon Photonics Operation at Intel. Victor, welcome back to the show. You've been on once before.
Yeah, I was on once before, back when we did the OCP announcement, and it's good to be back again.
So Silicon Photonics, anytime we talk about it, it seems like everybody leans forward in their chairs and wants to learn more. Can you just give a brief primer on Silicon Photonics and its role in the data center?
Sure. Yeah, so today people know about fiber optics or fiber communications or optical communications, and there's a big advantage to using optical communications, and that is that photons do not have mass, and therefore they don't interfere with each other like electrons do. So what happens is when you're doing copper signaling, you have a practical limit on how far you can go and how fast. And that's because you have all of this noise that's, or EMI that's generated by the electric signals, and that ends up limiting how far you can go. Now, you can go farther by putting amplifiers and signal conditioners on the interconnect, but that costs money. Optics, on the other hand, can go very long distances. As a matter of fact, if you make a long-distance call, you're probably going over, or you are going over, a fiber optic link. Now, the problem with fiber optics today is they're made out of 3-5 materials. 3-5 is the columns in the periodic table of elements. These materials are expensive and exotic. You know, things like indium phosphide, gallium arsenide are very hard to manufacture, let alone even say. Now, with silicon photonics, what we're doing is we're making optical devices out of silicon in a CMOS fab. And so the promise is you get the advantages of optics, this long distance, far reach, but with silicon, that's a low cost material.
So Victor, every time you take me on a tour of the periodic table, I get excited. And can you tell me a little bit about why these more exotic elements are more expensive to manufacture than solutions based on silicon?
Right. Yeah, so as I mentioned, today's optical devices are made out of 3-5 materials. Now, the state of the art in this industry is 3-inch wafers with yields of about 20%. You know, compare that to, you know, our 12-inch wafers and much higher yields, which we don't talk about, but I've been told that they're higher. So when they make these optical devices, you know, they literally have to take a metal can, and they have, you know, manufacturers in Asia, people looking through microscopes, lighting up these fibers, aligning them, you know, and then gluing them down. And you can imagine how expensive that is, because these fibers are the diameter of a human hair, around the order of 100 microns. There's 70, 80 parts in there, screws, capacitors, latches, all sorts of things. And one of the things they need to do is use index matching epoxy. Now, this epoxy costs more per ounce than gold.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea. Yeah, it's amazing. It gives you an idea of, you know, the complexity. You know, imagine if I told you that, you know, we're going to save money with Intel CPUs by mixing, you know, epoxy in smaller batches. You know, that's literally what they're doing. You know, and again, with silicon photonics, we're making optical devices out of silicon in a CMOS fab.
So tell me about the silicon laser itself. How is this thing transmitting light?
Okay, so in order to make a laser, what one needs is a gain medium. Now, the first laser was invented in 1960, and it used a ruby red rod. Now, then what you have to do is you have to insert energy into this gain medium. And if you remember your quantum physics, you get an atom to a higher state of energy. And atoms can only exist in two states, right, a high and a low level. And when the atom drops to the low level of energy, it emits a photon. Now, what you do is you put this in a, like I said, a gain medium, and you put mirrors essentially on either end of, in this case, the ruby rod. And then what happens is a photon is emitted, and that hits another atom, which causes it to emit another photon. And, you know, this, you get this chain reaction. And the photons go back and forth in this gain medium, and then eventually you get a laser. Now, what they did is they put a pinhole in the edge of the gain medium, and that's where the light comes out. We used a similar approach with silicon photonics, except the gain medium is a silicon waveguide. It's about a micron high, a micron wide. Now, the one issue with silicon is an indirect band gap material. Said another way, it cannot lase. So to get around that issue, we make waveguides out of silicon, but we put a thin bar of a material called indium phosphide on it. Indium phosphide does lase, and then we're able to couple that light from the indium phosphide into our silicon waveguides. And then by tuning the waveguides, we can determine the wavelength of light that we want to emit.
So the last time you were on the show, you were talking about early prototypes, but today you made an announcement that takes this initiative forward. Can you tell us about what you announced today?
Yeah, so what we announced today was our collaboration with Corning on the new MXC connector and new fiber. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we were, you know, sitting around and looking, you know, what we're doing with silicon photonics, and we said, you know, we really need an end-to-end solution, not just an optical device, but we needed, you know, connectors, cables, and fibers that, you know, were optimized for data centers for the 21st century. So we actually went to Corning. We went to Corning because they're the number one fiber optic company in the world. You know, they're a leader. They've been around for 150 years. And I was actually surprised, Allison, when I heard that Corning actually made the glass for Thomas Edison's first light bulb, right? To give you an idea of how long they've been around. So we approached Corning and said, look, you got to make us a new connector. It's got to have fewer parts. It's got to be more rugged. It's got to have three times as many fibers, and it's got to be cheaper. And then, by the way, we also want a fiber that can go three times further than anyone else's and also be bend insensitive and have better immunity to dust. It turns out that dust is the leading cause of cable failures in the data center. Mm-hmm. So a couple of years we went to Corning. They said, we love challenges. We'll do it. And so what we're announcing today is the new MXC connector, optimized for silicon photonics. We also announced that we're using this in our rack scale architecture. And the real benefit of this new connector is it can go 1.6 terabits per second.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the other thing with this connector and the new fiber, we can go 300 meters. Others can only go 100 meters at 25 gig. And we have 10 times the immunity to dust than other optical connectors.
Well, Victor, this is a game changer. You know, when we talk about rack disaggregation and system disaggregation, this seems like this is the secret sauce to get us there.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, we're all saying we think that this new connector technology, you know, and eventually coupled with silicon photonics, is really going to be the technology that enables 21st century data center kind of connectivity.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, take us forward a little bit. Obviously, this is the connector announcement. And the alignment with rack scale architecture and the fact that we're going to be using silicon photonics in our rack scale architecture. Silicon photonics was also working on stage today in the first demonstration of rack scale architecture. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. In the demonstration today, we had working silicon photonics modules. Each of these are operating at a combined data rate of 100 gig, as well as the MXC connector was in there. And just to remind you, Allison, so earlier this year, we announced that we had actually started sampling our silicon photonics modules to customers in December of last year.
So it sounds like, you know, we're making wonderful progress in this space. Can you tell us what we should expect moving forward with silicon photonics and what folks can look forward to hearing from you next?
Sure. Now, I can't announce, you know, pricing and schedule availability right now. We're kind of keeping that secret. But in the future, what you'll see us starting to announce is, you know, availability of these optical modules, the silicon photonics modules, timing and pricing. And then we'll start talking a little bit about our product roadmap. The other thing you'll hear more from us in the coming months and quarters is we'll start talking about some of the customers who have agreed to start using silicon photonics and the applications that they're using. You know, I was blown away when I saw some of the customers that we have, and I think it's going to be a really exciting time for us.
With all of this great momentum, you know, what is your view at this point on where silicon photonics is headed?
Sure. Yeah, so, you know, I head marketing for the silicon photonics operation. And I'm always talking in front of the engineers, kind of telling them what's happening. And what I tell them is that I actually have the best job in the world, or at least the best job here at Intel. They're doing all of these wonderful, fantastic things with the technology, and my job is just to go out and tell people about it, tell customers and others. And it's just so exciting and invigorating when you see people's eyes open up about what this technology can do.
Now, what message would you like to leave with the audience about the one thing that you want them to think about silicon photonics?
Yeah, so silicon photonics, everything we're doing here is aimed at getting more data in and around Intel CPUs. So this is all about enabling, you know, faster interconnects, you know, faster CPUs. And then with things like rack scale architecture, you're going to see whole new classes of server architectures come out that could not be done today simply because we have low-cost optics, which gives you that very, very high bandwidth and long reach.
Well, Victor, thank you so much for being on the program. I'm sure we'll have you back again soon to discuss additional innovations. But for now, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And again, I'm always happy to talk about silicon photonics.